Happy New You. Yeah, Happy New You. I didn't get to celebrate New Year's this year. I left Montana at 2 o'clock New Year's Eve morning, and I got in here at 3:30 New Year's Eve afternoon. Needless to say, I was asleep when New Year's happened. Although the fireworks did bring to my consciousness that the new year was here. And what I had thought I would do when I came back from Montana is bring the snow with me, because it snowed every single day that I was there, and it didn't snow inches, it snowed feet. My husband said he's the nice guy of the neighborhood, and he plows the driveways for the people who can't. And so he said he plowed more snow in those 2 weeks than he did all last winter. And so I tried to bring some with me, but apparently it hasn't caught up with me yet, but it will. So look forward to it. So for today's talk, the name of my talk is In the Circus, and you'll understand why a little bit further. So Albert Einstein says that a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself or herself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of delusion of our consciousness. And this delusion is a prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole nature in its beauty. So when we wake up in the morning, we have goals to accomplish, don't we? I mean, the first one is to get your feet on the floor and pull yourself erect and get out of bed. And then some of us exercise before we go take our shower, and some of us just head right to the shower. That's a goal, right? To get up in the morning, to take your shower, to brush your teeth, to eat breakfast. We all have goals, and then we move forward from there into our day. And although we may not consciously think of them as goals, whatever it is that we have to participate in that day is our goal for the day: going to work, taking care of our children, cleaning the house, whatever it is, that's a goal that we have set for ourselves consciously or unconsciously. And we must remember that we are not the only ones that have goals. Everyone has goals, and society as a whole has a goal. And we may not agree with the different societies' goals, but we do recognize that they have them. And the Centers for Spiritual Living has a goal. They have a vision, and we are incorporating that this year in our services, in our talks. A world that works for everyone and for all creation. You'll notice it's not just for everyone, it's for all creation, and that includes Mother Earth, and that includes the creatures of the sea and the creatures of the air and the creatures of the earth. It includes you and it includes me. We want a world that works for all of us. We envision an inclusive world, and don't we say that every Sunday when we read our vision statement, an inclusive world? According to Sharif Abdullah, who wrote the book A World That Works for All, the goal is an inclusive human society and a habitable planet. It doesn't mean that everybody has the same things, but what it does mean is that everybody has enough. Everybody has enough. It means coming to the understanding that each and every one of us is part of the whole, part of the one, and that our lives are linked to one another. My life is linked to yours. Your life is linked to mine. When I hurt someone else, I'm really hurting myself. When I celebrate in joy, I'm sharing that joy with others, because actually we are always linked together. So how do we achieve that inclusivity? How do we achieve that without participating in some pie-in-the-sky religiosity, as they say, and without being depressed because things aren't going the way I think they should. How do we do that? Well, we start with us. We start with you, and we start with me, and we start with the world that works for us. We live by that golden rule which permeates all faiths. Rabbi Hillel said, "What is hateful to you, do not do to others." And Buddha says, "Do not hurt others with that which hurts yourself." And Jesus says, "Do unto others whatever you would have them do unto you." And Muhammad said, "None of you is a believer until you love for your neighbor what you love for yourself." Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But sometimes we feel like we're living in a three-ring circus, lions and tigers and bears. And sometimes we feel like we're walking the tightrope, trying not to offend anyone, right? We're walking that tightrope, trying to fit in. We're juggling things. We're juggling life. We have this three-ring circus. We have our personal life, we have our work life, and we have our spiritual life. And it's our goal to be able to bring those together and to unify them. Sometimes we get so caught up in the chaos of the different acts that are going on that we lose sight of the truth of who we are, don't we? We lose sight of our oneness with the divine, and we forget that simple rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So what we need to do then is to pause and to breathe into that center space and to remember the truth of who we are, individualized expressions of the one, to remember that we are all one and that that person sitting next to you is much more like you than they are different. The people that we meet are much more like us than they are different from us. There's plenty of everything, and sometimes we live in fear and we grasp and we hold on because we're afraid there might not be enough. And we forget that it's an abundant universe and that life should be a cooperation and not a competition. There is enough, and it can fill our needs as well as theirs. And remember, they're so much more like you than they are different. And I don't care if it's the person sitting next to you or the person halfway across the world in Iraq. They are so much more like you. They have the same wants, the same needs, the same desires. They want to be loved. They want to have enough. In the 60s, some of us who were children of the 60s, we had this thing, make love, not war, remember? And so we thought all we had to do is parrot those words, make love, not war, live in love. But the thing that we forgot to do was to heal ourselves. What we forgot to do is that it's necessary to live in love, to change our consciousness, isn't it? It's necessary for us to be able to be that love and not just parrot those words. And we didn't really understand what we needed to do to change our consciousness. Tuning in, dropping out, that really wasn't the way to change our consciousness, was it? We needed to understand that we need to love ourselves and to recognize the truth of who we are. Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? You are an individualized expression of God, whole, perfect, and complete, exactly the way you are. And we get to learn to let go of some of the things that we learned in our education. When we went to school, we learned all about how the cultures were different, didn't we? We learned about how the people in China lived, and we learned about how the people in Japan lived, and we learned about how the Native Americans lived, and we learned about what we didn't learn is that we are all one, that we are all one, that we are more alike than we are different. We learned in school that the world does not necessarily work for everyone when we looked back at history, didn't we? But what we need to understand is we have the power to change that conception. We individually and collectively have the power to become the truth of who we are, part of the one. And in order to do that, the first thing we need to do is to love ourselves unconditionally. The past is the past. Let it go. The future hasn't happened yet. Let it go. Love yourself unconditionally in this very moment. Because once you learn to love yourself unconditionally, it's so much easier to love others in the same manner, isn't it? In a world that works for everyone, Sharif Abdullah suggests that we apply three criteria to any of our current or foreign issues and see how they measure up. Enoughness. Enoughness. Everyone has enough, even though our resources are not shared equally. There is enough. Exchangeability. Trading places would be okay. And common benefits. The system is designed and intended to benefit all. Now, he talked about going on a trip to Sri Lanka, and they had a big dining room where they gathered for their meal. And the guests were served on a big table on china plates, and the food was put in the middle of the table. More than enough food. And the Sri Lankans ate their food in a metal bowl. And they went to the kitchen, and they got their food, and then they came back and sat at the table. And if they were still hungry, they went and got some more. And it would have been okay, you see, if they'd changed places, because there was enough to eat. There was enough. However, in their culture, they were honoring their guests with the china. But it would have been okay to change places, and that's what we mean by exchangeability. And the system that is designed to benefit all people. Is our system here designed for a world that works for, say, the welfare mother, or for the homeless people, or for the people of Anchorage? Is our world designed at this moment so it works for our children? No? Well, what are you going to do about it? Because you know it's up to you. It's up to you and your consciousness. We don't want to turn a blind eye, do we? We acknowledge that there are problems. And we also acknowledge that problems are blessings because they give us opportunities to have creative solutions to the problems. Think about the baby bird that's in its nest. And mama bird thinks it's time to fly. And the baby bird, he's not so sure that's what he wants to do because it's a long ways down. So from the baby bird's point of view, it might seem cruel as mama pushes him over the edge. But to mama, it's an act of love. She knows the aerodynamics. She knows he's going to spread his wings before he hits the ground. She knows how far it is to the ground. That's why she built her nest where it is. So what is cruel? It depends upon our perspective, doesn't it? It depends upon whether you're the mother bird or the baby that's going over the side. It's a long ways down, and that lifestyle is so cozy. It's so cozy. Our problems are the same for us as for that baby bird. We are forced to think and act differently. They are blessings. We are forced to spread our wings and to fly and to do things we never thought were possible. And what we need to do is we need to move beyond putting band-aids on the issues. We put band-aids, right, on homelessness. We open shelters. We put band-aids on our social policies. We put Band-Aids on the issues around our children. We put Band-Aids on them. But what we need to do is move from the Band-Aids, not that they're a bad thing, but move from the Band-Aids to the source. To the source. Envision that world that works for everyone. It's up to you. It's up to you. We can create a world that works for everyone. It is important to recognize your own power. You have the power to create. I have the power to create. We have the power. And we don't need to give it away to anybody else and let them do it, do we? And we don't have to just honor their power and focus our attention on their power, because we each have our own power to create change. So I have a question for you. Why is it that when I am not satisfied with me, I'm mad at them? Isn't that the truth? When I am not satisfied with me, I'm mad at you. You know, it's easier to get angry with others than it is to look in the mirror and to understand we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings, and we must nourish our whole self, body, mind, and spirit. We need to take care of our bodies, don't we? And we need to learn and to grow and nourish our minds, and we need to feed our souls. We need to nourish our spirit. We are not separate. We are part of the whole, and there's more that unites us than there is that separates us. Each one of us sitting here today is an integral part of the solution. When you spread your wings and fly. Ernest Holmes, in this thing called Life on page 33, says, "The pathway to freedom, the key to success, and the consciousness which can break down the doors of our self-imposed prison all lie in the realization that the word of life flows through us into manifestation. Because we are conditioned by false thinking, by every form of belief in limitation and fear, we subjectively react in a restricted manner. The very creative power we possess is used destructively. Now, we must resolve to watch our thought processes, to boldly rearrange them in a more divine pattern. This calls for self-re-education, but it is not as difficult as it seems. We not only have the ability to do this, but we have the tools to do it with. The power is faith. The tools are thoughts and ideas. Let us learn to use them." Let us learn to use them. And you'll notice he said, now. Now is the time, in this moment. It is so important that each one of us hold a vision for a world that is inclusive, a world that works for everyone and for all things. And here are some thoughts and from the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dying on steps to being inclusive. Establish an unafraid and heartfelt communication with others. Sometimes we're afraid to communicate, right, what we're really thinking. And so they're saying here it's important for us to be able to establish that heartfelt, unafraid communication and to speak what's on our heart. Relax any tension in the atmosphere. Be natural. Be yourself. You're not a performer in the circus. You get to be natural and to be yourself. Encourage others to express their thoughts, their feelings, and their emotions. And do not interrupt or deny what that person is saying. We have a lot of yeah buts, don't we, when we're listening to someone, where we have a tendency to interrupt them and say, yeah but. But the truth is, do not. Learn to listen and learn to receive in silence. And in all grave issues, there are two approaches. The common sense approach and a sense of humor. But we have to be careful with our sense of humor and use it wisely, don't we? And skillfully and gently. And remember, no one wants to be rescued from their beliefs. Their beliefs. We're not here to convert anybody. Not one of us is here to convert anybody to the way that we think, are we? We are here to allow people to express their own thoughts and their own beliefs. feelings. It's not our task to convert them. And then, to really understand a person, you need to look at them in terms of their life and not in terms of yours. Because I think we have a tendency to move into judgment by how we live our life. We think that's how someone else should live theirs. And so it's important to understand that they have the same desire for love, the same desire for happiness, the same loneliness, the same fear of the unknown, the same secret areas of sadness, and the same unacknowledged feelings of helplessness that we all have at times. And when you do that, you will open your heart to that person, and they will be present with you, and you will be present with them. If you were in their shoes, what would you need? What would you like? What would you like if you were in their shoes? And don't try to be too wise, because being wise is all about me. It's really not about you. You don't have to say anything profound. You don't have to say, you're not here to fix them. You don't have to say anything profound. You just have to be there and listen. Remember that everyone, no matter what the appearance may be, has some part of them that is inherently good. And they are capable of being open and loving and generous when we can see that part of them. Everyone has a place. And you cannot, this is my favorite, you cannot acknowledge how their fear disturbs you and brings up your most uncomfortable fears and be present with them. It's important to acknowledge those fears and understand that what you're doing is you're facing a polished and fierce mirror. When we, of our own reality, when all we can see is the things that are wrong with them. Ernest Holmes says in The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, we are giving birth to the next great spiritual impulsion of the world, and for the first time in history, free from dogma, fear, superstition, materialism, and all that is built on the ignorance and the denial of God, the universe in which we live, a spiritual system now, in such degree as any of us bears witness in his mind or idea, the divine fact, the tomb is open and the dead come forth. So we need to create this world, that works for everyone, to let go of those old and dead ideas and to breathe new life into our vision of this world, to breathe new life. Ernest Holmes also says in The Philosophy of Ernest, the transformation takes place here. You don't have to wonder if it will take place out there. The world will come when enough of us see through the night into the celestial light that shine more and more unto the perfect day. And what Ernest is telling us is that light comes into the world through us, and it is our collective light. It is our collective light that will bring forth into our expression that world that works for everyone. It's up to you. It's up to me. Each one of us is part of the greater whole. So I don't know if everyone got one, but when you came in, you received a puzzle piece, right? At the end of service, I'm going to ask you, there's a table in the back and there's a frame back there. I've framed the puzzle. I'd like to ask you to put your piece of the puzzle in it. Is there anyone here who didn't get a puzzle piece? You don't have to. Oh, Reverend Dawn, too. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is to put your piece in the puzzle and understand it's not going to be whole. It's not going to be whole without your piece. It takes all of our pieces to create a whole, doesn't it? It takes all of us to create the greater whole. And you'll notice when you put it together, it's moved from a three-ring circus to a one-ring circus. It's brought us together, that each and every one of us is part of that all-inclusive whole. And it will not be complete without you. So I'd like to ask you to please join me in prayer.